was sort of like a lucky charm. So, you know, nobody ever really read it. And Mom would come through periodically and dust it. But it was just sort of there. And the Bible was a closed book to me. And after I got saved, I started reading the Bible. And I think like anybody else, there's nothing singular it's about any of us. You're spiritually alive. You have this great hunger, this great thirst. And you're so grateful and thankful that God has saved you. And one of the things that I remember, because so many years before that, I wanted to know things. I tried to read the Bible. I'd go to church. I'd pray. I'd do everything they told me to do, but no peace. And this verse, John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Isn't that the truth, what that verse says? "Ye shall know the truth." So tonight, I ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 3 and 19, because the topic tonight I want to talk about is something that's going to happen 3 weeks from tonight. 3 weeks from today is February the 17th. You say, "Oh, that's St. Paddy's Day." No, that's March 17th. Okay? Does anybody know what happens in the religious world on Wednesday, February the 17th? Ash Wednesday, is that what you were going to say? Okay. That's true. That's true. What a pithy statement. Thank you, Bob, for clearing that up for us. There you go. Yes, Mims had it. Ash Wednesday. How many of you have ever seen someone, or I don't know, maybe from your own background? I was raised that way, so I had it. Yeah, you've seen it. I've watched sometimes. Yeah, you've seen it. Were any of you raised that way so you received it yourself? There you go. Yep, there you go. I remember I used to like to watch. I still watch it. Fox and Friends. And Steve Doocy, you know, he's always, you know, got right there, you know. Ash Wednesday. And I don't mean to be snide, but I looked up these words in the dictionary, and this is really correct. What Ash Wednesday is all about, we're going to look at it here. You take the black smudge, because that's what it is. It's a black smudge. But with the scripture, you fudge. Because Ash Wednesday has nothing to do with Christianity. Nothing at all. So this black smudge, you might know that it is the burnt ashes of the palm leaves. That's what they do. And that you go that. The genesis of it is in Genesis. Ta-da! Genesis 3 and 17. This is where somewhere Holy Mother Church got all of this and said, "Hey, here's another symbolic thing we can do." And then to Adam he said, God speaking, 3:19. "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return," or "shalt thou return." The time frame is in the liturgical calendar of the church. And this is not only the Roman Catholic Church, this would be your Eastern Orthodox churches. It would also probably be the Anglican Church, that what we call the Episcopalian Church. There's different denominations and so forth. And what saddens me is I find out that in the evangelical world, people who should know better, they're getting kind of swept up into this too. But anyway, you have Ash Wednesday, and that kicks off 40 days of Lent. And that's where you always hear those magic words, "Well, what have you decided to give up for Lent?" After I got saved, a girl in my church, she says, "All the kids at the lunch table are going to say, what did I give up for Lent?" And I said, "All you got to tell them is that what you give up for Lent is Lent." Okay? So she says, "I like that." So it's the idea, and it comes from, we're not going to read it tonight, we don't have the time, but from Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, where the Spirit of God takes Jesus out into the wilderness for that time of testing, where he fasts, he gives up food, he gives up creature comforts, He goes out there to be tempted of the devil, tried and tested by Satan for those 40 days. It's the idea that he's there just with an attitude of total obedience and total dependence on his heavenly Father. But it's the whole idea of giving up and denying yourself, and that's where you get that. So that's where they get that from for Lent. And it's the idea, as Jesus was surrendered to his Father, and Jesus always wanted to do his Father's will, he said, you know, in John 4, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And therefore, the church says, well, let's try to pattern that. Let's try to replicate that. So for 40 days, what we'll do is we'll give up creature comforts. We'll give up our favorite food. We'll give up, you know, deny ourselves earthly pleasures, that kind of thinking. And we will do that as saying to our God that we are serious about our spirituality, about our religion, and we want you to know that we're denying all these things. We're kind of offering them up for you. So that's how that goes. And then at the conclusion of the 40 days, you go from the frailty of being dust. You go to the fasting of Lent, and then the 40 days and the next day is resurrection Easter morning. And now you have the feast of the spiritual truth that Jesus is risen from the dead, and then you usually go out and eat a 55-pound ham with other people. You know, I tried it by myself one time. Ooh, what a tummy ache. But any old way, and you celebrate the food, everything. So that's this whole story. You start out with the smudge, and the thing is, what always gets me about this, didn't Jesus say that when you do these kinds of things, go in secret in your closet? So that they don't know that you're giving things up, and you know this and that. But this is a little bit more like he said, don't do it. It's like the Pharisee standing on the street corner, you know, don't anybody look at me, but I just want to let you know I am one of the holiest people you'll ever want to meet. But yeah, that's okay. You know, I tell more people, but I'm just too humble. So it kind of ruins the whole thing. The point is, let me say it one more time, and then move on. What will I give up? What favorite food? What enjoyable pastime? What creature comfort to show my dedication to God and seek to please him? As I said, and I'll repeat it just one more time, this is, it's big with the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, the Roman Catholic Church has over a billion adherents around the world. Okay, the Eastern Orthodox, there's millions of those folks. Episcopalians in our country, they're under 2 million, and they're shrinking all the time. Now there's some evangelicals participating, which is sad. And they will say, you know, you get around there, very touchy-feely, very sensitive. You know, I've decided to get involved in receiving the ashes. I've thought about it. It's very spiritual. It's very moving. It's good to fast. It's sort of like a spiritual cleansing. Renews my spiritual energy. And so it's just a very intimate, special time with God. And I like to jump in right there and I say, you forgot to mention one other little matter. It's very, very unbiblical. Ooh, you're one of those fundamental kind of people, are you? Yeah. So again, you have people who are just, they are following this. It's all, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say, I'm going to be, you know, in plain language, it is not based on the blessed book. It's all this religious gobbledygook. It's all very touchy-feely. And when people do this, they feel so wonderful about themselves because they're reconnecting with God. They're doing all these things. And they have their own very esoteric words. And if you don't see it their way, they'll just, well, I'll pray for you and I kind of pity you. You know, so thanks. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Let's find out, because it's all through the Old Testament. We see many, many, many times where people, they want to, and I want to slow down here and stress these words, they realize that they have sinned, they realize that they're not pleasing God, and God the Holy Spirit has convicted them, and they need to repent. Now, that is a biblical term, to repent. It means to have a change of mind, a change of heart, where you want to agree with God when he says, you've sinned, you're disobedient, you're not where I want you to be. You don't argue with him, you don't try to, you know, justify. No, you say, you're right, and I repent, I'm sorry. I need to stop doing that. I need to reject that, and I need to come back in fellowship with you. And you confess your sin, and you get right with God in fellowship. That's repentance. So in this verse, which is the one we're going to see in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 21, I just have the time to look at one. Like I said, you can look at it in your concordance. If you got a concordance at home, and you'll see the ideas of sackcloth and ashes. You'll see them in a lot of various ways. All right. Once again, my mouth moves faster than my fingers. Ah, here we are. Jesus is talking. And he says, woe, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. If I, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had appeared and been to those people back in those days, they would have recognized who I am. They would have reverenced me. They would have known my deity. They would have bowed down and worshipped me. They wouldn't have been as... We view them, those people back, the Phoenicians, as wicked, evil people. But he says, don't call them wicked and evil. They don't hold a candle to you Pharisees for wickedness and evil. So there is a biblical where the Lord Jesus says, if you realize that you're not right, that you're sinful, all of that stuff, repent. Nothing wrong with that. Change of heart. Now, here's what I want to do. That thing has fallen off right there, and if I pick it up again, that'll be a full 1,000 times. I'm just going to let it set there. Now, here's what we have to. I want to tell you about four words in the time that remains. Here's where the Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox and a lot of other people. Here's where they make their mistake. Here's where it's very unbiblical. Because they take two words that kind of look the same and sound the same, but they mean very different things. Repentance, the first word, is the biblical, what we've talked about. But there's another word called penance. Penance, to do penance. And then there's other two words we're going to look at before we leave, and that's the idea of restitution and reform. I was hoping if I could find a Roman Catholic missal, and ta-da, I have it right here. I've had this when I was a little boy. I've had it too. I'm going to read this to you. So if somebody next to you starts to nod off, just, well, I'm radioactive up here. The season of Lent. Ash Wednesday. It's like, what are we going to do here? I want you to understand how blessed we are because we know the truth and the truth. I'm not so much angry with these folks a little bit, but I feel sorry for them because they're deceived. And they're thinking that what they're doing is something that's pleasing God, and it's not. And I think to myself, Earl, but for the grace of God, you'd be right there with them. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of the liturgical season of Lent. In ancient times, the period of preparation for Easter differed in length in various countries. Later, it was so arranged that 40 days of fasting would precede the great feast as a reminder of our Lord's fast in the desert. Now, in the Old Law, notice how they interchange these words. In the Old Law, in other words, the Old Testament, ashes signified grief or repentance. And then just going, in the early church, penitents did penance in sackcloth and ashes. Now, it sounds like they're saying here, in the Old Testament, they did repentance. In Holy Mother Church, we do penance. We're just continuing that tradition. No, you're not, because repentance is biblical, but penance is not. Now, I'm going to turn the page, and it talks about, you know, the special mass they have to kick off Lent. Ash Wednesday, the blessing of the ashes, blah, 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 blah. Now, I have a paragraph here. Listen carefully because, again, because these folks do not know the truth, they intermingle the words repentance and penance. Let us pray. O God, you desire not the death but the repentance of sinners. Right you are, that is true. Look down most graciously upon our frail human nature. We are but dust. And in your goodness, deign to bless these ashes which we purpose to put on our heads in token of our lowliness and to obtain forgiveness. All right? If you need forgiveness, you talk to God. Putting ashes on your head, God doesn't say, oh, look, I'm going to forgive you because you put some dirt on your head. That's not how you do it. So that we know that we are but ashes, and for the demerits of our wickedness. Our wickedness, it's like demerits. They put, you know, a check mark next to us. God keeps count of us, and he's saying, you know, you did some bad things, and if you have some demerits that is a bad thing, how would you counteract that? Somebody tell me. Anybody? By doing good things, exactly. I did some bad things, God, you know, put a little demerits there. Now I'm going to go the other way, and that's what we said here. Are to return to dust. Now here it is. By turning around, by obtaining forgiveness, may deserve to obtain of your mercy and pardon of all our sins and the rewards promised to those who repent. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? That if we put the ashes on our head and we go through the Lent and we give up some things, oh, we've been sorry, but we're doing penance. We're somehow paying or earning or deserving of getting right back with God because we've done. Therefore, we're going to receive pardon of our sins, not because we've repented, but we've kind of paid God back. Now, like Heather says, now he's over here and he's saying, well, they got some demerits over here, but here's some good gold stars over here. Anybody who thinks in their theology and they're taught by their priest or the bishop that by doing penance that you're kind of paying God off, you're, you know, making the scorecard even, and now it's sort of like he's sort of obligated to forgive you and do something back because you deserve it, you've been a good person. Do you find that in the Bible anywhere? No. But that's what this Ash Wednesday is all about, okay? So that's here. This is in the Roman Missal. And, of course, this is back before Vatican II. But, I mean, when they go to Mass, this is Bible. They spend more time in this book than they ever thought about in the Bible because people can't understand the Bible. That's only for the, you know, the priests, the bishops, the archbishops, the cardinals, and, you know, the College of Cardinals and the Pope. They are the only ones that can know the Bible. Now, that is that. Now, I wanted to pick up a Catholic New Pocket Dictionary or New Testament pocket, and I was able to pick one up here. Okay. There you go. Hey, should have laughed. I've been seeing every time a smartphone comes out, now it's about as big as a Samsonite suitcase. Okay. I want you to help me here. I'm in Luke chapter 13. You tell me. Jesus says, do you think these people were just as bad or worse than these other people? I tell you, no. But unless you do this, you shall all likewise perish. Unless you what? Repent. That's right. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, you can't see it, but this is a Roman Catholic Bible. I'm in Luke chapter 13. And it says here, right above 13, it says that this subheading for what we're going to read here is the providential call to penance. There they do it again. They interchange those words. Jesus never told them to repent. I mean, Jesus told them to repent. He never said about penance. Now, so I'm going to read here, and I think I'm going to find the word penance in here, but I didn't even get that. So I'm just going to read this out of this Catholic Bible, one paragraph. At that time, some were present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. He said in reply, do you think that these Galileans were the greatest sinners in Galilee just because they suffered this? Oh, by no means. But I tell you, you will all come to the same end unless you, it's repentance, unless you repent in God's word. But I thought for sure I was going to see the word penance. I thought they were going to confuse the two. They didn't even go with penance. They come up with, unless you reform. What is that all about? Okay. Or take those 18 who were killed by a falling tower in Siloam, do you think that they were more guilty than anyone else who lived in Jerusalem? Certainly not. But I tell you, you will all come to the same unless you reform, unless you improve. Not that you need to turn away from something evil or some sin. That's to repudiate sin. The word reform just means to make an improvement or make an adjustment or an adjustment or an alteration to something you're already. Now, why am I sharing this with you again? I want to remind you of the theme tonight. You know what? I wouldn't have to be here. I wouldn't have to understand this stuff. There's nothing special about Earl Burcott. And there's nothing special about any of us. It is by the grace and mercy and privilege of God, brothers and sisters, that we are together in this room. And I think there's over a billion people who read this. And you know what? It's okay because they're spiritually dead. They're leaders they trust, and they just don't know any better. They just don't know any better. And then in the back here, I put down the idea of Ash Wednesday. In the back of this Catholic Bible, they have a kind of an encyclopedic dictionary, and one of their priests has put together this, and I come down to Ash Wednesday. So here's the definition in this Roman Catholic for this Christian thing they do every year, you know, in the Church of Jesus Christ. Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent and the seventh Wednesday before Easter, on this day, blessed ashes of burnt palms are placed on the foreheads of the people. Now remember, all these people are doing this. You know they've got the black ash, but listen, you see the black ash on their foreheads to remind them that physically they are but dust, and here we go, and that penance is necessary to somehow pay back God, to get the stars next to your name. You have to do that penance, and here's the end of the paragraph, for the salvation of their souls. We understand for the salvation of our souls, we need to repent of our sin, and by grace alone, through faith alone, place our trust 100% in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they think in order to save their souls, they have to do something to help pay back God. They have to earn some of their salvation. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Finally, you know what? I didn't bring it tonight, which is okay. I was going to bring a dictionary, and just that when you look at the word penance, from the word penance, there's another word comes from that, a penitentiary. Yes, sir. Yes.
All right, when you're all done, it's okay. Your penance is, you know,
yes.
20 Hail Marys, 20 Our Fathers.
Yes.
You know, and that was your penance. And after that, man, I was clean. I could go the rest of the week. And crazy.
You know, thank you for sharing that, because I don't have the dictionary. I'll toss this in. Some of you may have heard this before. That's that whole idea. You share with, well, to give them credit, they're saying, actually, you're not telling the priest. He's just there as the channel. You're confessing this to God, all your sins. He has been consecrated. He is a priest. So according to their priesthood, God will work through him to give you absolution. That's forgiveness. But also, you have to say so many prayers. He says, now go out and say, you know, and make a good act of contrition. A good act, you know. Kind of, it's again the idea overall, if is not what God has done for you, it's what you have to do for God. And one thing you said there, you may have heard this, and I'll just close with it. I was scared to death of hell. I don't know how many of you were saved as a little child, but I was petrified from hell. I got so bad. When I was 22, I was hearing a clock tick in my room, and I said, God, I know I'm going to go to hell. Why don't you just kill me and get it over with? I went to confession at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in downtown Fort Wayne. And what I did was I went in there and I just confessed every single sin I could think of. He gave me absolution. I prayed the prayers. And you talk about this burden. I walked out on the plaza there, and I looked up to God as serious as I could be, and I said, God, would you please strike me dead right now? This is about as clean as I'm going to get, because I'm going to go back out there. I'm going to start piling up sins again. So at least kill me so that if I can't go straight to heaven, at least let me go to purgatory. Lord God, I don't want to go to hell. Please kill me now. Do you realize if God would have answered that prayer and killed me right then, I wouldn't have gone to heaven. I wouldn't have gone to purgatory. I would have gone straight to hell because I had believed the teachings of the one true Holy Catholic Apostolic Church. So, just closing tonight, when you see these people, don't look at them like, what an idiot, or what, something like that. I mean, if you're going to do anything, feel sorry for them. And you may have neighbors, you may have some people like this. They think they're pleasing God. They think it's Christianity. They know no better. It's all they've ever known. They have never yet believed the truth, and therefore they don't know Jesus Christ. And I'll just leave it with that, and then we'll have a closing hymn. Let's pray. Father God, it's not about Ash Wednesday. It's about the blood that you shed on the tree. It's not about us doing anything for you. It's about the perfect work you did for us. It's not trying to impress you. The only thing that impresses you and pleases you is when we tell you we're a sinner, we need a Savior, and we put our faith in the Son in whom you are well pleased. And for all of us here tonight who are born again, we know we're saved. And we thank you, God, because we do know the truth and you have set us free. If there is someone here tonight that does not have that peace, does not have that confidence, then have them speak to you, Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father God, we want to give you all the praise and all the glory for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.